Today I would like to take a look at some very interesting words from the Torah. And actually, it was my personal experience with the Lord. Many years ago, probably 60 years ago. Yeah, I look young, but the Lord spoke to my heart from this scripture and helped me to go through my personal difficulties in my life. So I would like to share it with you. So maybe somebody will find something interesting for yourself. The question facing me was this: if I'm following the Lord, why do I still have struggles and suffer losses in my life? Am I alone with these questions or not? Maybe I'm different from you. Maybe you don't never have anything. Everything good. Everything fine. So with this question in mind, let's take a careful look at the passage from the book of Exodus. And this is Exodus chapter 13, 17 and 18. Exodus 13, 17 and 18. It is today's Torah portion. After Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, although that was nearby, for God said, so this is the picture. So God, he didn't lead them through the easy way, close way. Because he said, the people might change their minds if they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness, so to the Sea of Reeds. And Bnei Israel went up out of the land of Egypt armed. Very interesting idea. Many times we heard the idea that it was because of disobedience they decided to go through the long way, but we can see here one more picture. So the Lord led them with different way, through wilderness, through Red Sea, with something in mind. So this passage from Torah teaches us a very, very important lesson today. What's the lesson? We may not always get an immediate solution for our problems. Not always. And we may not receive an instant answer to all our questions. I wish I can. I would like to have always immediate answers. Who would like the same? Yeah, it means that you're not a normal person, yeah. We want to pray and receive immediately, but it's not always the case. And in this place of scripture, we can see here. The Lord took the sons and daughters of Israel down a long and difficult path to ensure that they might not change their mind and return to Egypt, because He's merciful. He knows us. He knows our hearts. So changed their minds about what? Following the Lord. Yeah? And return to where? Was it nice place?
No.
No, it was Egyptian slavery. God escorted them through the desert and the sea so that a return to Egypt was out of the question for them. In his mercy, the Lord burned their bridges behind them. In his mercy. He is merciful. He is merciful, Lord. So when the Lord led his people out of slavery with a strong arm and by an outstretched hand, many of the Israelites expected an easy journey. Were confident that a speedy trip lay before them on the I-95, Memphis-Jerusalem highway. So, I have a question. Did this walk in the desert meet their expectations? Of course not. How many times have we seen people who cried, "Where's the beef?" Yeah, with this voice. Where's the Dr. Pepper? Where's the asphalt? Is identity 5, so it's supposed to be the way. Where's our Walmarts? And how many times are we one of those people? How many times? There are times when we ask, Lord, I followed you, kind of. I accepted Messiah by faith, so why is my problem still not resolved? I still have not been taken care of. What's up with that, Lord? Where are you? What's Kevin? What's going on here? If we wish to understand why the Lord sent us the long way around, I call it a roundabout, we must determine for ourselves what goals the Lord pursued when he brought the Jewish people out of slavery. What was the goal? What is the heart of their calling, of our calling? We need to look into the very essence of his calling, the goal he had in mind when he liberated the people of Israel and brought them out of slavery. When he set them on the journey to the land he had promised them. It was his hand. It was his calling. Would it have been enough for the Lord to simply create another people? Would it have been enough for him to establish another kingdom? He might have removed Pharaoh. Easy, he's the Lord. He might have put Moses at the head of Egypt in one day, like that, because he's the Lord. He might have caused a revolution. And I came from Ukraine, I remember the very famous person named Lenin. Maybe he thought about himself that he is Moses, I don't know. But actually, it was the reason why Pharaoh was so terrified. He thought they will do revolution there in Egypt. At Passover, we remember Exodus by singing Dayenu. Do you remember this beautiful song, Dayenu? Dai Dayenu. It would have been enough for me. But for the Lord, it would not have been enough. He wanted so much more. This is why he called his people. This is why he called us. The Lord wanted not only to have a new country on this earth. He wanted a people with a different spiritual gene pool. He wanted to create something new in this world. He wanted to change the essence of people, their motives, their values, their tasks, their behavior. This was his goal. He wanted to implant a knowledge of himself in these people. But even that would not have been enough, because he wanted, it was his goal, to actually live in their midst. He wanted to obey it with his people. He wanted to build a house for himself in the nation of Israel. This was his goal. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. I love this place because actually this is one of the very important places. It describes our calling in the eyes of the Lord. Deuteronomy 7, 6. And please remember, they were not perfect people. And the Lord called them, "For you are a holy people to Adonai your God." Let's say together, a holy people. They were not perfect. They were not perfect, but they were holy for him. And, you know, I have one interesting secret, but please don't tell anyone. It's between us, okay? Keep it here. I want to let you know that you're not perfect too. I'm sorry. Don't let anyone know, because let everybody know that we are perfect, okay? For you are a holy people to Adonai your God. From all the peoples on the face of the earth, Adonai your God has chosen you to be his treasured people. Despite all not perfect things in their lives, he chose us to be separate for him, to do his will, to be his nation. This word to be people who belong to the Lord, prepared to keep the commandments of God, to preserve and to spread the knowledge of God on the earth. Special people called by the Lord. The people of this nation were to be bearers of the name of the Lord everywhere on this earth. It's a beautiful picture. It's the beautiful picture. And in the same way, in our days, when the Lord calls us, it's the same. He wants to transform our lives. It is his goal. He wants to transform us. He wants to conform us into his image so that we can reveal his characteristics in ourselves every day of our lives. Thus, we may glorify him every day with our character, deeds, behavior, conversations, goals, values, until the whole essence of our being is a picture of Yeshua. And I know it is a long way, but we are walking, we are going this way. We are different from yesterday because of the Lord, because of Yeshua. He is changing our hearts. He's making us new people. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, chapter 2, 14, Titus. He gave himself, Yeshua came to die for us. He gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deeds and so that he might purify for himself a chosen people, zealous for good deeds. So he died for us to purify us, to take us apart, to make us holy for his special deeds on this earth. It is his goal. And you know, the Israelites, even though they left Egypt and they went out of Egypt, still carried with them a spirit of slavery. They were free outside, but they're not free inside. Egypt lived inside of their hearts. It's true. They constantly compared the Lord to the gods of Egypt. Constantly. Constantly. Their approach was, the Lord owes us. I'm here, Lord. Give me this, give me that, give me that, give me this. You owe me. I'm following you. You owe me. It occurs to me that things haven't changed a lot today. Sometimes people have the same picture about the Lord. And it took years, to be exact, 40 years. Can you imagine? 40 years of hard training, instruction, the Lord's presence, until the people changed in the essence of their nature. It took them 40 years to change their essence, to change everything. Finally, after 40 years, they became able to take the inheritance that God had prepared for them, to enter the promised land, and then the name of the Lord, one true God, sounded across the whole earth. Amen. Because they were prepared. And, you know, we all came to God, and we journey a long way to learn how to trust the Lord, how to obey him, how to love him. And it's not easy thing sometimes to learn how to trust the Lord. And, you know, I know one very simple lesson. When everything is fine, I don't need faith. Why? Because everything is fine. But when something difficult in front of me, this is when I need to have faith, to pursue, to trust the Lord. Amen. And actually, this is the moment when I must study how to rejoice before the Lord. Amen. Do you remember the special moment when they crossed the Red Sea, and on the other side they start dancing before the Lord, start worshiping them, worshiping him, and you know, it was celebration that lasts only one day. Only one day. But we need to learn how to be joyful today in every day of our life. Amen. Yes, yes. In the Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Actually, you know, I found something interesting. There are no easy ways, except only one way that bring you down. This way it's very easy and very fast. Other ways, it's always, you need to put effort in it. So let's open Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And I would like to share with one interesting place of scripture. And I will share from Greek translation, not from English, not from King James. I'm sorry for that. Don't be offended because I will not read King James. So Matthew 11, 12. I know some people think that King James is a holy language. Not for everyone, but yeah. Matthew 11, 12 from Greek. From the days of Yohanan the Immerser, in King James, John Baptist. So Yohanan the Immerser. Until now, the kingdom of heaven has been taken by applying force. The same word means wrestling, putting an effort. And those who do so delight him. So to follow the Lord is not easy way. It takes effort from us. We need to learn how to wrestle with ourselves, how to fight, how to take it, how to pursue. It is so wonderful to realize that with God, your life has a purpose and you have a victorious destiny. It is so beautiful. It is beautiful. And I have an important question for us today. Actually, not one, but for now it's only one. Why did we come to faith? What's the reason? Why do we now attend services on Shabbat? What's the reason? Why we are here? And from my experience over the years of ministry, I have repeatedly heard from people who ceased to believe and from those who left the Lord. For both of them, it is the same excuse. I don't get anything for myself. I know some people are just upset because of it. But the main focus of a spiritual calling is not about what you get from your work for yourself, although that has its value too, because we need to receive something. But the whole point of living life with the Lord is the faith full of serving, where you have been called to serve. Bring what you are able to bring, being useful, however you can be useful to God and to the people around you. So please think about it. Faith, it's not about you. It's about the Lord. Coming out of Egypt, it's not about you. It's about the Lord. Because he is the boss. And actually, it's another secret. Don't tell anybody. He is the boss. And we are following him because he is ahead. It's a beautiful life. A life full of his presence. He's the best. Amen. It is the supreme goal of your faith and mine to follow the Lord, to put him first in our lives. And I would like to consider another example from the chapter of the Torah, which expresses the same concept. And let's open Exodus chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. Exodus 14, verse 19 and 20. It's a beautiful place of scripture, and it's a really strong, important place. So verse 19. Then the angel of God, it's the same Torah portion for today. Then the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. So, and I would like to stop here because something very important in this verse. I would like to speak about this angel. And I think this angel is not just an angel. but the Lord himself. And I would like to prove it. Let's open Exodus chapter 33 and read about this special angel, angel of the Lord, angel of his presence. Exodus chapter 33. This happened right after one of the, you know, rebellion inside of camp of Israel. So, and here is discussion between the Lord and Moses. So, and from verse 2, the Lord is saying to Moses, I will send an angel before you. I will drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, and otherites. Yeah, it's said there. It's the same bathroom, ites. Head up into a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not move within the midst of you, so that I do not destroy you along the way. For you are a stiff-necked people. What does it mean? So, who was before that moment? It was him. Verse 9. After Moses entered into the Mishkana, the pillar of cloud descended, stood at the door, and he would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all rose up and worshipped. Finally. After the Lord told them, I will not go with you anymore. They understood something. They're supposed to worship. This is an important moment to worship. Every man, what a unity here, yeah? Every man at the entrance of his own tent. Verse 11. So Adonai, so the Lord, spoke with Moses face to face. Panim el panim, face to face. As a man speaks with his friend. Close fellowship. And do you remember we read this place before? We can't see Father because we would die. But here, the Lord, in his presence, through Yeshua, speaks with his servant, Moses, face to face, like friends. And verse 13, I like this prayer, Moses' prayer. Now then I pray, if I have found grace in your eyes, show me your ways, so that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. I like this prayer. So show me your way. And in the end, very smart Jewish prayer. Consider also that this nation is your people. Because this was the main point for Moses. And the Lord answering Moses, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. He answered. But Moses didn't stop here. He's going forward. But then Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with me, don't let us go up from here. We don't want to go anywhere. So it was not just an angel. It was an angel of the Lord's face. If it was the Messiah, it was the Lord himself. So with this in mind, let's read Exodus 14, verse 19 and 20. So it's not just angel, it was the presence of the Lord with the Jewish people. Actually, Messiah, many times in the scriptures call Messiah angel of the Lord or angel of the Lord's presence, of angel of the Lord's face. It's an important thing to do, to understand. So verse 19, Exodus chapter 14. Then the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. Also the pillar of cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. And so came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. There was the cloud and the darkness over here. Yet it gave light by night over there. Neither one came near the other all night long. And this is interesting picture here. The same Lord, the same presence. For some, it was the light, but for others, darkness. The same Lord, the same place. For some, it was salvation, and for others, judgment. The same presence of the Lord. Amazing result for different groups of people. Different results. Literally, some were enlightened by presence of the Lord, while others were experiencing darkness. Some were getting smarter, others were foolish, stubborn. Some survived, others died in the presence of the Lord. The same Lord, the same presence. So, what does it mean? It means that God is the same to all people. He's the same. He never changed. But the difference lies in where people stand in relation to Him. Because He's in the same place, always. Jews and Egyptians and other ethnic groups who came out of Egypt with the Jewish people, and we know that many, many people came out of Egypt with Jewish people, many Egyptians too, went according to the will of God to serve Him, to live in His presence. They were following the Lord, and they were in light of His face. Others, it was the army of Pharaoh, pursued wrong and godless goals as they attempted to prevent the Lord from carrying out His plans, and they were in darkness. This is why for some, the presence of the Lord was their salvation and a life of miracles. For others, that same presence was very, very dangerous. And we do not follow Yeshua for entertainment. This is not our goal. Nor to satisfy our desires. This is not our goal. Rather, we are on the side of the Lord and His side. Amen. And one more secret for today, but very important. The whole world, everything, everybody, doesn't matter where, whole countries, every person in the world. The whole world today has been divided into two camps. Those that belong to the Lord through Messiah Yeshua, and those that are in war, at war with Him. And it's no middle ground. You can't be good with the Lord and in war with Him. Through Yeshua's death, whole world is divided now in two parts. And we do need to decide where we are. And you know, from my personal experience, a small experience, I think it's my opinion. Better to be on the side of the Lord. At least it's easier. And the most amazing thing in all history is that the people who came out of Egypt were not perfect. They were not perfect. Our nation was not perfect. They often sinned, made mistakes, fell and got up again. But the Lord was always merciful to them, each time forgiving and sending deliverance to His children who followed them. He was light. He was cloud for them. He was salvation for them. Why? Because they followed Him. They were at the right side with the Lord. And very often it seemed that it was an end. No longer they had the strength to move on. The circumstances were too difficult, but the Lord was always with them and brought deliverance to them. And this story reminds me, and this is, I would like to come to my to an end of my message. Its story reminds me one of the most beautiful places from Brit Hadasha. And let's read it briefly and think about it. It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. Beautiful story from the life of our Messiah. Mark 4, verse 35. Now on that same day in the evening, He says to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." After leaving the crowd, they took him alone in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were rushing into the boat. The boat was beginning to fill up, but Yeshua was in the back of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. I like this. He was sleeping. They were like screaming, rushing, running around, like he was sleeping. They wake him up and say to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Why are you sleeping here?" So he woke up and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped, and it became totally calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Even now you have no faith. It's after all the miracles they saw by their eyes." Verse 41. They were struck with awe and said to one another, "Who is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Who is this? You know who is this? He was the one who separated the sea in the times of Moses. It was him. And now comes the sea and wind for them, the Lord, in his presence. It seems to them that their teacher had fallen asleep, that he had lost control of the circumstances and forgotten about them. It seemed to them. In fact, the main thing that the Lord himself was with them in the boat. They were absolutely safe because they followed his command and did his will. So today we are not perfect. We often do wrong things, but the one who has done no wrong is quick to forgive if we are quick to seek forgiveness. And the main point, he is in our boat because he is our Lord. So I want to stop here and I want to pray for every one of us. And if you never accepted the Lord Yeshua as your personal Lord and your personal Savior, this is the moment for you. Yeshua came to this earth and he died for you. He died for you. He redeemed you from sin of this world so you can have forgiveness, mercy, and fellowship with the Lord. So I'd like to pray. In the name of Yeshua, my Father, the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I come to you, Lord, and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your salvation, Lord. Lord, I open my heart and ask, please forgive me, Lord. Forgive all my sins, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Clean me, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Yeshua, I invite you, Lord, in my heart. Please fill me with your spirit. Be my Messiah. Lead me, Lord, through this wilderness of my life. Help me to follow and to obey you. I pray to you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. So let's close our service with Aaronic benediction. Please stand together, not be alone. Yevrechecha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Isa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. Amen. Shabbat shalom.